as it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global, only on Q95, the big station, Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Good morning. This is the morning news for today, Friday, February 23rd, 2024. In the headlines, AccuWeather raised concerns over an upcoming intense hurricane season, citing the return of La Nina and elevated sea surface temperatures across the Atlantic.
Q95DA.
St. Vincent and small island developing states are urged to seek technical and financial assistance for constructing climate resilient infrastructure through the coalition for disaster resilient infrastructure. And Albanian legislators approved a migration agreement with Italy on Thursday, whereby Rome will construct migrant processing facilities and transfer migrants to the Balkan country.
95D.
The news is brought to you compliments through Rudolph Thomas Enterprises. Details coming up next.
Rudolph Thomas Enterprise in Portsmouth, your suppliers of building materials and hardware products. Over 20 years experience in the business. Rudolph Thomas has lumber and plywood, Portland and tile cement, steel rods, galvanized and fence pipe, and Rudolph Thomas can meet all your wire needs. Galvanized roofing sheets, doors, windows, toilet sets, face basins and bidets. PVC piping, fittings and lattice. Check out Rudolph Thomas for ceramic and vinyl floor and wall tiles, nails, nuts and bolts, paint and painting supplies. And check out their line of electrical and hand tools. And Rudolph Thomas is your one-stop shop for hard-to-find items like fiberglass mat and fiberglass resin and welding rods. Go now to Rudolph Thomas on 1240 Bay Street in Portsmouth.
The Isaiah Thomas Secondary School clinched a victory in round two of the inter-secondary schools debating competition against the Dominica Grammar School. They also secured the award for best speaker. The topic of debate was gun amnesties are the most effective approach to addressing the issue of illegal firearm possession in Dominica.
We know that compared to other methods, gun amnesties present a peaceful approach to addressing the reduction of illegal possessed firearms. Imagine the outcome if the authorities were to use an iron rod to reduce the number of illegal firearms in the country. People would retaliate with violence and protests, and even develop hatred towards the police, resulting in individuals retaliating and refusing to cooperate with the police when future events or crimes occur.
Gun amnesties fail to address the broader issue at hand, which is the illegal possession of firearms. While this strategy may result in the recovery of a few weapons, it does not address the fundamental problem of individuals possessing firearms illegally. The focus is on collecting existing weapons rather than preventing new ones from entering illegal circulation. As such, this cannot be the best option when it fails to address the root cause. Just last month, Dominica News Online 2024 reported that a former minister of government, who is also currently employed in the office of the prime minister, was caught red-handed importing illegal firearms accessories into our country.
The judges have decided that our best speaker for today is Miss Amelia Charles, the first speaker from Isaiah Thomas Secondary School. And the results are as follows. The proposing team, Dominica Grammar School, 619 points. The opposing school, 657.5 points. Which makes the Isaiah Thomas Secondary School the winning school for this debate.
And that was Dr. Kimon Joseph, moderator of yesterday's debate. AccuWeather meteorologists have raised concerns over an upcoming potentially intense hurricane season, citing two significant factors: the return of La Nina and elevated sea surface temperatures across the Atlantic. The NOAA's summary of the 2023 Atlantic hurricane season reported 20 named storms, ranking it fourth for the highest number of named storms since 1950. Among these storms, seven developed into hurricanes, with three reaching major hurricane status. The season was marked by exceptionally warm Atlantic sea surface temperatures and the presence of a strong El Nino event, with the 2024 Atlantic hurricane season looming just 100 days away. The expert says it is important to familiarize oneself with the names on the list. Since 1953, names for Atlantic tropical storms have been designated from lists curated by the National Hurricane Center, now maintained and updated through a rigorous process by an international committee under the World Meteorological Organization. Former Prime Minister Edison James has voiced concerns over the state of agriculture in Dominica, emphasizing the critical role of human resources in driving production. Mr. James highlighted the disconnect between rhetoric and action in the agricultural sector, accusing DLP government authorities of merely paying lip service to its development without concrete efforts to achieve the government's stated objectives.
But unless there's the human input that which brings these three fundamental elements together, you're not going to get production, okay? So when the people, the human element is not there, the sun, the soil, and the water will just remain that. So we have to convert that into productive agriculture. We have lip service. For instance, we are talking about generating how many hundred million dollars from agriculture by 2030. You see nothing on the ground that points to that being able to happen. So it's just talk. You make declarations, and people hear these declarations, and they run away with the thought that, okay, we're going to be doing that. But there's never any action.
James asserted that policymakers must show conviction and dedication to advancing the nation's agricultural sector, and emphasized the need for financial support for farmers during this process.
What we need to do is to have the policymakers being convinced and committed to getting agriculture going. And in our country, the farmers will require, potential farmers will require that financial input. And that not only the financial input, but the direction, the commitment that we are going to engage in agricultural production so that we can feed ourselves and we can, ship. This country has been described in the past as an agricultural country. And there was a time when if you ask people what is Dominica known for, they'll tell you at some time in the past they'd say citrus, another time they'd say bananas, just as they used to say St. Vincent is known for arrowroot and St. Kitts for sugar and so on. What are we known for now in terms of agriculture? Nothing, okay? The other day I went from Pocasse to Casabruce. The road from Pocasse to Casabruce is smooth. Smoothest road in the world, I think. But as you go down the road to Casabruce, all you see on the side of the road is bush. You come down from Bebush to Hatton Garden, Pequa, where I am, what you see on the side of the road is bush. That is where you used to see, in these areas, coconuts. You used to see bananas, citrus, animals grazing. All you see is bush.
Former Prime Minister Edison James, Dominica warmly received the DMV Seven Seas Grandeur as it made its inaugural voyage to the island. This remarkable vessel, a shining example of contemporary luxury cruising, spanned an exclusive 735 feet in length and 102 feet in width, with a total weight of 55,500 tons. Featuring 14 opulent decks, it provides accommodation for up to 746 guests in 373 lavish suites. According to Discover Dominica Authority, the MV Seven Seas Grandeur echoes the region's dedication to perfecting the luxury cruise experience.
Dominica greeted MV Seven Seas Grandeur on a maiden voyage to the island today, Thursday, February 22, 2024. In celebration of this pivotal event, Dominica officials and cruise line executives participated in a ceremonial plaque exchange ceremony aboard the vessel at 10 a.m. The Seven Seas Grandeur, an exquisite marvel of modern luxury cruising, extends 735 feet in length and 102 feet in width, with a gross tonnage of 55,500 tons. It boasts 14 deluxe decks that accommodate 746 guests in 373 elegant suites. The ship is renowned for its generous staff-to-guest ratio, providing 548 crew members to ensure a top-tier service experience. Passengers of the Seven Seas Grandeur participated in enveloping excursions across the island, including the picturesque Merrow Beach, the majestic Trafalgar Falls, and the serene Emerald Pool, among other prime locations. The Seven Seas Grandeur stands as a testament to Regent's commitment to perfecting the luxury cruise experience, offering sumptuous suites, expansive spaces, fine dining that rivals Michelin-rated restaurants, and extraordinary service that begins the moment guests step on board.
She says the outlook for the 2023-2024 cruise season is optimistic as Dominica prepares to host a total of 222 cruise calls, anticipating over 360,000 passengers. Notably, 13 of these calls will mark inaugural visits to the island.
For the 2023-2024 cruise season, the forecast is bright. Dominica is positioned to welcome a total of 222 cruise calls, an equivalent of over 330,000 passengers. Significant to this season is that out of the total visits, 13 will be inaugural calls. As of January 31st, 2024, Dominica has greeted 115 cruise calls this season, with a total of 171,458 passengers arriving at its shores. Out of these visitors, 124,293 have disembarked, with 70,160 participating in organized tours. We implore all industry stakeholders to ensure a warm and delightful visit for all cruise patrons throughout the season. We have sustained efforts from the government of Dominica. The island will continue to spearhead promotional campaigns projecting the beauty and charm of Dominica as a celebrated cruise destination, striving for an increase in cruise traffic and economic vitality for the nation. For information on Dominica, contact Discover Dominica Authority at 448-2045 or visit Dominica's official website, www.discoverdominica.com. Follow Dominic on Instagram, Facebook, and take a look at our videos on YouTube.
And that was Discover Dominica Authority Communications and Public Relations Specialist Monel Alexis. Glenroy Soso Coffee expressed his views on the state of development and growth in Dominica, emphasizing the inherent desire for progress within the nation. Coffee highlighted that in any business endeavor, the aspiration for wealth creation inevitably emerges as a primary objective. However, he underscored the importance of first addressing the long-standing challenges plaguing the agricultural sector in Dominica while embarking on other large-scale development initiatives. Coffey pointed out that the agricultural sector has been grappling with various issues over time, hindering its potential for growth and prosperity.
Dominica is really yearning for development and for growth. In any business venture that one undertakes, the first thing that comes to mind is to build wealth. You know, to build wealth for what you intend to do. So you have a business venture, you have a business project. You're, yes, why it is true that you want to build wealth, but you have to do it to the best of your ability and to have a business mind about. Agriculture has been conducted as a business for many years in Dominica. But we must admit, though, we have had many constraints with respect to agricultural development in our country. Over time and many years now, we have been dependent on rain-fed agriculture. Rain-fed agriculture, what do you do when you lack water? There must be a solution. And nowadays, we should not even talking about seasonality of crop. There should be no seasonality of crop to be doing things year-round. And so in the absence of water, or when you experience water deficit, you must be able to irrigate where especially water is available so that you can get rid, you can bring solution to the many farms who suffer during this period.
Coffey highlighted the thriving agricultural sector in St. Lucia and commended the consistent endeavors of the government there to expand market opportunities, particularly in banana exports. He underscored the need to adopt a comprehensive strategy for the development of Dominica's agricultural sector.
On the 16th of February, the Minister for Agriculture in St. Lucia, right, Mr. Alfred Prosper, he highlighted that the island of St. Lucia grapples with banana surplus. That means to tell you, San Lucia now is producing more for the market, more for what the market can absorb. And Hillary is correct. Sometime, maybe in the not too distant future, you will see the importation of bananas or probably plantains into Dominica. And even the minister himself admits, look, they are shopping for market, but yet he is adamant in seeking alternative markets for the farmers, going as far as St. Thomas. Because right now, the Barbados market is saturated with bananas, given the Suriname and competition costs for other areas in the Caribbean as well. Also, it is very important that when we're talking about agriculture, we have to develop agriculture holistically. And agriculture doesn't mean only bananas. There's a whole area of crops that one we can explore to develop our sector.
Glenroy Soso Coffee. In other news, St. Vincent and the Grenadines, along with other small island developing states, are being encouraged to access technical and financial support for constructing climate-resilient infrastructure through the Coalition for Disaster Resilient Infrastructure. Established by India in 2019, CDRI is a global organization dedicated to empowering countries in enhancing resilience for technical support and capacity building, research and knowledge management, and advocacy and partnerships. In an interview with the Asia Pacific Institute in New Delhi, India, Amit Profi, the Director General of CDRI, emphasized the significant benefits that countries like St. Vincent and the Grenadines can derive from joining the coalition. Profi said that they are already providing technical assistance to 14 small island developing states through grant funding, adding that they are set to launch the next call for proposals in May. This will be a multi-year initiative, enabling them to address the escalating challenges faced by small island developing states. The coalition is actively supporting various projects in the region, including the development of multi-hazard early warning systems in the Dominican Republic and infrastructure resilience enhancement in Haiti to mitigate disaster threats. Presently, 31 countries have pledged their commitment to the organization, with 30 of them being small island developing states. And Albanian legislatures officially approved a migration agreement with Italy on Thursday. According to the terms, Rome will establish processing centers for migrants and then transfer them to Albania in its Balkan neighbor via the Adriatic Sea. This landmark agreement marks the first instance of a non-European Union country accepting migrants on behalf of an EU member state.
Albania's parliament gave the green light on Thursday to a migration deal with Italy to build two processing camps for migrants in the Balkan country. It's the first example of a non-European Union country accepting migrants on behalf of an EU nation, and is part of a wider bid by the bloc to clamp down on irregular immigration. Albanian Prime Minister Edi Rama wrote on social media, "Can solve such a challenge alone, and Albania would together with Italy." Based on the country's northern Adriatic coast, one camp will screen migrants, while the second would hold arrivals while asylum applications are processed. Migrants would then be repatriated or allowed to enter Italy. Some fear the deal's impact on Albania's security and financially vital tourist industry, as well as the rights of migrants. Activist Arulda Leshi protested in front of parliament during the vote.
"This touristic area will not be the same after the migrant processing centres are built. Then they will be sent to the area of Chadar in a closed jail, and from what we've seen in other countries, we have reasons to believe that this will be a security problem for the whole area."
Claims by Albania's opposition party of the deal being unconstitutional have been rejected by courts, and Brussels has said the plans do not breach EU law. However, rights experts warn Italian courts could struggle to process asylum requests or appeals against detention orders from people hosted in another country, with lengthy procedures putting an unjustified burden on migrants. The accord has drawn comparisons with Britain's plan to send asylum seekers to Rwanda to deter small boats crossing the channel from France, organised by human traffickers. An Italian government source said Rome aimed to have the centres running by spring.
That's the morning news, and here's a recap of the headlines. Acute weather risk concerns over an upcoming intense hurricane season, citing the return of La Nina and elevated sea surface temperatures across the Atlantic.
And global.
St. Vincent and small island developing states are urged to seek technical and financial assistance for constructing climate resilient infrastructure through the Coalition for Disaster Resilient Infrastructure. And Albanian legislatures approved a migration agreement with Italy on Thursday, whereby Rome will construct migrant processing facilities and transfer migrants to the Balkan country. The news was brought to you compliments Rudolf Thomas Enterprises. I am Ferdinand Valmond.
News as it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on.